The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs sports radio, Wheels.
Good Friday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. We got you for the next 3 hours, taking you to your weekend. Want to start today by bringing up a name that many of you probably know who he is, Joe Servi. He's the sports editor at the Pueblo Chieftain. Him and I go back to my college days. He was not in college the same time I was in college, but him and I actually hosted a talk show together down there, and it was awesome. It was a great experience for a college kid to be able to work with someone like Joe. And one thing that he always used to say about Pueblo is that it's not so much a sports town as a big event town. And that was something that he said a lot. And it was mainly referring to the historic Bell game. If you don't know, Pueblo Central, Pueblo Centennial play every year in high school football. And it's like, if you have a sports bucket list, especially a Colorado sports bucket list, you got to put this thing on there. It's the oldest rivalry west of the Mississippi. It's great, but I digress. He was pointing out that maybe consistent support for some high schools and other sports teams that may be down there in Pueblo may be in and out. But if there is a big event, the city of Pueblo shows up. And as I have bounced around the state a little bit, I've lived, obviously, the majority of my life out on the Eastern Plains in Lyman. Went to college in Pueblo. My first job out of college was in Sterling, the northeast corner, almost darn near Nebraska. Also lived for a short time in Denver. Obviously, traveled to Denver quite a bit. I've been in Denver quite a bit. And now living in Colorado Springs, I found out that really – what Joe used to say about Pueblo can be said about our entire state. Now, my case in point, it look at the Broncos and the Rockies, how they draw versus the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and if you want to throw in the Rapids, you can do that as well, and it's kind of handy because I'm getting to that sport here in a moment. But you look, yes, the Broncos, their fan base is loyal as certainly the most loyal fan base in the state, one of the most loyal fan bases that I've ever come across in sports. Yes, the Broncos pretty much consistently win. They do win enough to keep you interested. Yeah, they're not the Patriots or the Cowboys from the 80s or the 90s or whatever, but they're good enough that you... apathy doesn't really set in. And I know that winning has a lot to do with the way these teams draw. But you look, 72,000 fans all in one place, only once a week, and it's somewhat inconsistent. You get a couple of games here at home, then you'll go on the road for a couple of games. But in the NFL is an event more than perhaps any other sport. And I think that that also lends itself to why Sports Authority Field is always such, it's always full and always such a great atmosphere, is because it has that big event feel. With the Rockies, to a lesser extent, it's either they're really good, like the other night when they were at home, they had like, I mean, I've never seen a crowd on a Tuesday like the one they had against the Indians. So you look at the Avs and you look at the Nuggets, and yes, the Nuggets and the Avalanche both had their times in the sun where they were selling out the building. But for the most part, the NHL, the NBA in Denver isn't a huge event, doesn't have that event feel. Now, it even trickles down here to Colorado Springs. As much as people like me will talk about the consequences that come out of Sky Sox games, the players, the importance of winning, the fact that the Sky Sox are chasing a championship of their own, are in first place as we begin play today. As much as we talk about all that stuff here, the majority of you out there, and maybe not even the majority of our audience, but the majority of Colorado Springs goes to the Sky Sox for what reason? For the event. Like, just think about how many of you are going tonight as opposed to tomorrow. Many of you don't even have work tomorrow. Why don't you stay home tonight and rest? Well, it's Friday Night Fireworks, so that's why you're going tonight. It's about the event. Air Force football. It nearly baffles me. If I didn't know the fan base so well, I would be baffled by this. Air Force has been one of the most consistent programs in the country for about a decade. But yet they don't have near the attendance you would think Air Force deserves. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But one of the biggest ones is the hassle it is to get on to the academy. And that's real. I'm not diminishing that. But all of a sudden, that it's not as big of an issue when Army and Navy are in town. You'll try to go to that. So again, it's about events in Colorado. That is what, when we show out and when we show how awesome this state is for sports. Last night, I was at another event. It was the U.S. Men's National Team. They were playing Trinidad and Tobago in World Cup qualifying. Now, obviously, there were far more media members than myself. And I've been up to Dick's Sporting Goods Park a lot. And I saw the Denver Post guys. Kisla shows up every once in a while to other Rapids or soccer-related events there. And he was there. And the normal crowd. But then there was Sports Illustrated. There was the Wall Street Journal. There was the LA Times. There was ESPN. And I understand that. That's to be expected because they would even go to that match if it was in Wichita. So what surprised me and took me, like, I expected there to be pretty close to a sellout crowd. There was 19,188 fans. I've never been to an Olympics, but I imagine what I felt was very similar to what people feel like when they go and cover the Olympics. I literally got chills when I heard the national anthem because I had never seen that many people in one place singing the national anthem. It was awesome. It was an awesome showing. It was an awesome moment. And then that enthusiasm never dissipated. It was one of the most electric atmospheres that I had ever seen at a sporting event that I was covering. U.S. soccer came here to play at 5,280 feet because it would help them when they go to 7,200 feet on Sunday against Mexico. But everyone I talked to, including Tim Howard, who plays in Commerce City regularly, said that the crowd last night was among the best at a U.S. men's national team match. I have the Tim A clip.
This is the most incredible crowd I've played here. It was loud. It was electric. Very proud to call this place home.
And I heard that sentiment echoed throughout the U.S. men's national team, both the people that played and also people like Sunil Gulati, the president of U.S. soccer, and other people. Very impressed with what Colorado showed last night. So Colorado may not be the best state for the most consistent, diehard fan support on an everyday basis. But, man, if you have an event, if you have an event where the eyes of the nation would be looking at Colorado like they were last night, man, does Colorado show out. So kudos to any of you who went to that match last night and added to that atmosphere, because it was awesome. And if the NFL ever wants to really open things up for the Super Bowl, Colorado's got to be on the list. I understand the weather aspect to it, but it's just awesome. And that's what Colorado is. It's a big event state. 286-0046. That is the text line if you want to fire away. The other story from last night was that the U.S. men's national team won, and the legend of Christian Pulisic continues. If you had to name some of the best athletes under the age of 25, he is absolutely up there.
Want to follow your favorite local team? We have the play-by-play covered. The Sky Sox, Falcons, Nuggets, and Avalanche all play here on Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome back, Drive Time Sports, here on Extra Sports 1300, streaming online 24/7 at extrasports1300.com. Rockies finally going final.
5-3.
Hey, I was at this game. Oh, watch. Clint Dempsey gives it to Bruce Arena. We'll discuss. We're watching the replay of the U.S. men's national team match last night. More on that, by the way, for you soccer fans, on the other football show tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. here on Extra Sports 1300. Rockies win 5-3. They have now taken the first two games of the series with the Chicago Cubs. Didn't start out too awesome. Charlie Blackmon, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he fielded a ball that was hit out to the outfield. One run was going to score anyway. And then he, like, on the transfer, he just, like, dropped it. And I thought he lollygagged it a little bit and then threw offline. It was 2-0. And you're like, ooh. I tweeted this out earlier. Like, how many times did we see something like that with the Rockies last year, and then that be it? And then the game's over, 3-1 is the final, or, you know, they just don't recover. But sure enough, top of the second inning, Ryan Hannigan, 2-run home run. Charlie Blackmon followed that up with a 2-run shot of his own. They get another one, gets a little bit dicey there in the end, but Rockies end up pulling it out by a final of 5-3. I do find it that there are some similarities as we continue to just completely chug the purple Kool-Aid here. It just got me thinking a little bit. Yes, the Cubs are not the Cubs of last year, at least not yet. A lot of the same pieces, but they're just not playing as well, so I don't know that.
Hardest thing to do in sports, repeat.
Right. No, I agree. So. So I don't look at this as much of a test as Tim Kirkjian and others had on Twitter last night. And Nolan Arenado, I believe we played the audio yesterday. Nolan Arenado's like, they keep every series that we go in is a test. Like, they say that it's the Nationals, and then it's the Diamondbacks, and then it's the Cubs. Like, we're just trying to win ball games. So, beating the Cubs in this series, while it's certainly nothing to scoff at, it's not something that will ultimately define the season. But I do find it interesting as we continue to look at what this team might be able to achieve and trying to find little markers here and there to show what the Rockies can potentially do. Rockies today, with the win, improved to 40-23. On this date last year, the Cubs were 41-17. The Rockies have one fewer win than the Cubs did at this point last year. You look at the batting statistics last year, the Cubs had a 772 OPS at this time. The Rockies have a 770 OPS. And there are other offensive statistics that are similar, but I feel like OPS of the traditional statistics is one that you can look at it as a real indicator of how good somebody is offensively. Same thing, you look at batting average against the Cubs this time last year. We're leading the league at .212 batting average against. Now the Rockies lagging behind that just a little bit, but .245, they're still a top 10 team in batting average against. So I think that there are similarities between where the Cubs and the Rockies. And you could go further into it. You could talk about their third baseman. I think there are some similarities there between these two teams. Now, the one thing that I will say that is very different between these two teams is the Rockies right now have a 2.5-game lead. D-backs play tonight. 2.5-game lead in the NL West. 2.5 over second place, 3 games over third.
The Diamondbacks have the unfortunate task of facing Josh Hader tonight.
Oh, yeah. So, we'll see. Maybe he can last more than 2 innings. So, the Rockies are 2.5 up on second, 3 games up on third, entering play tonight. The Cubs this time last year were already 10 games clear in the NL Central. So, while there are some things that you can point to and say maybe the Rockies are on the same trajectory as the Cubs were last year, one thing that is not even close to the same is that the Cubs were already the Cubs were like the Astros are this year. I mean, they were just pulling away from the pack even a couple months into the season. So that's one major difference. But if you look at these two teams statistically, at least the 2016 version of the Cubs and the 2017 version of the Rockies, very similar.
It's time for Crunch Time.
It's time!
Hey, you hear that?
Do you hear that?
What is that?
What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
What is it?
It's Crunch Time. It's Crunch Time. It's Crunch Time.
All right, time for the crunchiest of times. Wheels, what is the day today?
Today is Donald Duck's birthday. He was he debuted on this day back in 1934 in the cartoon The Wise Little Hen, if you can find that.
Oh, totally. I got that on Blu-ray.
Oh, I'm sure you do. So the question is, favorite childhood cartoon character?
That's a good one. Freakazoid? Do you remember Freakazoid?
I do not.
Google it, kids. Freakazoid.
Freakazoid.
Freakazoid was my favorite. It was out. I actually, yeah, that was my favorite when I was younger. It was He-Man.
Okay.
I was all about He-Man. But I would say, as I look back in my advanced age, I would say that no cartoon character brought me more joy than Freakazoid.
Okay. I was originally going to go very specific on this, you know, like Warner Brothers or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to expand.
He is a Warner Brothers.
Okay.
He's Animaniacs, that whole.
Yeah. I had a hard time figuring mine out, so, I expanded it.
Expanded.
Because I go Nickelodeon.
Okay.
Doug. I love Doug.
I thought you were going to go Ren or Stimpy.
No. I do like Ren and Stimpy, but Doug was my favorite.
I feel like this isn't a favorite. This is a Mount Rushmore type question. Because I'm like, Freakazoid. And then I'm like, no, but I loved He-Man. And it's like, oh, you brought up Nickelodeon. I'm like, Powdered Toast Man. How awesome was that guy?
And then there was Rocco.
Rocco?
I liked Rocco. But I like Doug because, A, he's left-handed, like me. He's kind of a dork, like me. And I love the dog, Pork Chop.
Yeah.
He was awesome. I love Pork Chop.
Do, 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 do. And Skeeter.
And Skeeter, yeah.
Here's a good here's a good question for you.
Okay.
Actually, it's not so much a question as a stated fact. Our cartoons are better than my kids' cartoons. And I give my son's shows a chance.
Okay.
But my sons watch probably the most. They watch Teen Titans Go, which is actually, I enjoy that show. That's funny.
You know what? Honestly, anytime that's on, for some reason, I can't change the channel.
It's funny, right?
It is.
It's good.
It's very entertaining.
But then they watch like, and I know Pokemon was around when we were younger, but I feel like it wasn't, I feel like we were older when Pokemon really.
Yeah, we were a little bit older.
It was like my cousin who's about 2 or 3 years younger than me. Mm. He was super into Pokemon. I think we kind of just missed it. Now there's Pokemon and there's Digimon and there's Yo-Kai Watch. And it's just like, it's exhausting with all the, having to memorize all of these characters.
Yeah.
Like, I love my son, but every day he's asking me about Yo-Kai and Pokemon, and he's fluidly switching in and out. It's like, I feel like my cartoons were never as labor intensive as my son's.
Very basic.
Right. Everything has to be categorized.
Yeah.
It's just, there was Doug, there was Skeeter, there was Pork Chop. What was the girl's name?
Patty.
Patty.
Patty Mayonnaise.
And that was about it.
There was Roger. There was the antagonist, Roger.
Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to really worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
Ren and Stimpy. It was Ren and it was Stimpy. And if you remember Powdered Toast Man,
Log.
Then cool. Then you were. But everything now is, it's 3,000 different characters.
Yep.
And they're all popping in and out. And they all have their own set of unique abilities that you have to remember what they are. Ours were so much better. We get a.
This is Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. The movie I watched Unbreakable the other day, and cover your ears if haven't seen this movie because there's spoiler alert coming. You don't, throughout the entire movie, you don't realize that Samuel L. Jackson, instead of trying to. The entire movie, he's pushing Bruce Willis's character to realize that he is a superhero. And at the end of the day, you find out that he's doing it because he wants to be a villain and he has to find his other half. As he puts it, you know, if I was on one end of the spectrum, because he's Mr. Glass, like he's a fragile dude, I'm on one end of the spectrum, there has to be someone on the other end of the spectrum. So he's looking for his adversary. Now, stay with me here on this. Megamind, the subject of Megamind is that Megamind defeats, in quotation marks, it turns out that the Brad Pitt's character actually like just wants to quit, so he stages his own death. But the idea behind the bulk of Megamind is that Megamind is lost without Metro Man. So he creates another superhero played by Jonah Hill, and that goes awry. Hilarity ensues. Good movie. You should check it out. A lot of life lessons in there. The point that I am getting at is when you look at the Warriors potentially closing out the Cavaliers tonight. All great teams need a great adversary. And all of a sudden, through 3 games of this NBA Finals, everyone has started to just completely diminish what the Cavaliers are and have been. Like, the Cavaliers are no longer the the matchup that I have been calling it, the greatest player ever versus the greatest team ever, at least the greatest player of this generation against the greatest team of this generation. It's almost not like that anymore because these games, and even though Game 3 was close, just the way that the Warriors won it, with Kevin Durant driving right down the court and busting a three-pointer in LeBron's face, the Warriors are almost emasculating the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, that may be a harsh word, but when you talk about in basketball terms, that's what they're doing. They're picking them apart, doing whatever they want. And as this final gets over either tonight or it gets over in Game 5, if by some act of God it lasts till Game 6, we're going to look at this and say, well, that was kind of a downer because these entire playoffs have built up to this moment. The unstoppable force meeting the immovable object, and it hasn't been that. And I wonder if we always talk about legacy. So many legacies are being defined in this series. Do we look back at the Warriors and say, well, they played the Cavaliers. They swept the Cavs. Remember the Cavs? They're not that good. They had LeBron. But you think of the other teams that are in this discussion. We've talked about all of these ones that are coming out of the woodwork and saying they would beat the 2017 Warriors. Part of the reason is because they look at the Cavs and they're like, we've got to give them a better run for their money than the Cavs are doing. And then that turns into, oh, we would beat the Warriors. So you need the worthy adversary to go up against Magic had Bird. While Michael was 6-0 in the finals, didn't you think that the Utah Jazz were pretty much up to the challenge? They were a good team. They pushed the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, the Bulls ended up winning, but that's not the point. The point is that in order for us to believe that a team is truly historically great, they have to have a worthy adversary, or else it just looks like they're playing in a weaker time. It's almost like Babe Ruth, right? We look at Babe Ruth and we say he's great. But would any of you say that Babe Ruth is actually the greatest player ever? No, you wouldn't. Because why? Because he was, you know, Babe Ruth was just this Hercules. Little pudgy in the middle, but still a Hercules where he'd hit all these home runs and he had no peer. And so over time, you start to pick that apart and say, well, Babe Ruth was mostly, you know, a mythological type of guy because he played in a time where, you know, he's just ahead of his time, right? He wasn't that great. If he were to play in this era or this era, Babe Ruth would just be another fat guy that was a designated hitter. And I feel like that's where people are going with the Warriors right now. Because the Cavaliers have been so woefully pathetic in this series that we almost hold it against the Warriors, as weird as that sounds. So I just hope that the narrative after tonight, if the Warriors are to win, is, wow, how great are the Warriors? Not, let's diminish the Warriors' legacy because the Cavaliers weren't that good. What makes a team even greater is their opponent, their foe. Megamind and Metro Man. Mr. Glass and whatever Bruce Willis ended up calling himself in Unbreakable. It's about your greatness is also determined by who you're going up against. And that's part of the reason why all these people are coming out of the woodwork saying they would beat the Warriors because they see how woefully pathetic the Cavaliers are and saying, well, we could put up a better fight and we could beat that Warriors team. No, you couldn't. That's how good the Warriors are. And we'll see tonight if they can end up sweeping. That's going to do it for the show. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday here on Extra Sports 1300.